I dare say that none of us here can say we come anywhere near going through the things that Brother Kumar is experiencing. I'll tell you, he's a very special man of God, and I don't know how much of that you understood. I hope you catch it, but it's not only the virus, which has killed a lot of their pastors and a lot of their people, and the government regulations that are blocking a whole lot of help that we would give financially, and many other organizations in India. There are a lot of Christian organizations that aren't there anymore because of government opposition. So you have a government that's officially against Christianity, wants to stamp it out. But I don't know if you caught that it's not only the government and the virus, but the Maoists. And he's referring there to anti-government revolutionaries who control areas. And Brother Jim and I had the opportunity, if you want to call it that, to travel into some of those areas where the government wouldn't go. He had enough contacts that we could get in there and out safely and actually meet with some of those people. So, I mean, he's got them fighting against him at times, and he's got Hindu people that are, you know, that are standing up for what the government wants and feel free to oppose Christians and kill them and burn their churches and all kinds of stuff. So, praise God, we need to support him and just continue to pray for him, but also believe that the Lord is in control. That he is going to reach every one of his and give special strength. Praise God. Well, it seems like the Lord arranges every time I'm supposed to be up here for me to feel especially weak, and it seems like that's kind of the way it is, the way it's supposed to be, if we read the Word, because we're not supposed to be running on our own strength, and I certainly don't feel like I have any. But I've had a lot of thoughts, and I'm asking the Lord to help me to bring them to a focus that He wants, to express His heart. And as is so often the case, I don't know how much I'm going to say this morning that is truly new, but it's not what's new that we need, it's what's real and what's relevant to where we're at. And I guess as good a place as any to start is in the beginning of 1 Peter, and you think about the man that God used, think about where he was when the Lord found him as a self-confident fisherman. Some of you have seen that series of movies that have been made about the life of Jesus and so forth, and Peter is quite a rascal. I don't think they're off in picturing him that way. He was a self-willed rascal. And you think about what the Lord had to do to him and how the Lord was faithful to him in spite of all of his human weakness, all that was wrong with him, and the catastrophic failure that he went through, and yet God blessed him, brought him through, made him a pillar in the church, and a blessing to us yet here today because of his writings. You know, if God can do that for Peter, he can do that for any of us. And we need to lift up our eyes and see who it is we're serving and what this is about and have a confidence. I mean, for people who knew what Peter had gone through and to see him in the role that he's occupying, encouraging and instructing others with a confidence and with an anointing, what an encouragement that needs to be to all of us. And it's what it certainly would have been to them. So let me just read a little. I think I'm going to go ahead and go against my instincts here and just read, and then I'll go back. It's hard for me not to stop and comment every other word, but anyway. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with His blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Wow, there's a powerful, powerful picture of where we're at in Christ, what he's done for us, and how we got there and where we're going. And of course, Peter's focus in the middle of it is, okay, we see the past, we see the future, what about now? So that's kind of where he's coming from. Now, just to set it a little bit in context, you know, different people have different places in the kingdom of God. And Peter's place was to minister to those who were Jews by birth. And so when he talks about the exiles, he's talking about people who were Israelites but lived in foreign countries. How many of you remember that on the day of Pentecost, there were people who had gathered in Jerusalem from many other countries? And they had been so assimilated in those countries that they actually spoke their language. And so the miracle of them speaking in all of these languages was very apparent. But these weren't Gentiles, these were Jews. And so Peter's ministry was to reach out to those who had been born as Jews and knew the law, but needed to realize what God had done for them and how he had fulfilled everything that was foretold in the Old Testament and now was coming to pass. And all that had been hidden that the prophets themselves, he says later in this chapter, the next chapter, he said they hadn't even understood it. But here, now it's being unlocked. In fact, he says it right after a passage I read. The spirit that was in them didn't realize, didn't understand, they didn't fully understand what they were prophesying. But now it was time for it to be unlocked and revealed to everybody. And so that was the hope that he was going forth to proclaim. All right? So who is Peter addressing? Who is he writing this to? He's writing this to those who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. And of course, I won't say a lot about this. There's a whole lot of debate in Christian circles about the relationship between God's sovereign election on the one hand and man's will and responsibility to respond on the other. Well, the truth is in the middle. There is not a person alive in the history of this world who has the power or even the inclination to come to God and surrender unless God works with the heart. We are dependent upon him to come and speak to us and convict us of what is true and of our need of him. But God does not simply come and overpower somebody and say, I pick you and I don't pick you, and you don't really have any choice in the matter. We have a responsibility to respond. And God knows ahead of time those who will. And so he works in harmony with what he knows. But I'll tell you, we have a responsibility, and yet, isn't that an awesome thing to have the security of God's overshadowing choosing? Thank God, I want to be one who's chosen. Praise God, I don't begin to deserve it, but he has chosen. And I praise him because that's my security. It certainly is in nothing I can find in here. It's in his heart and his purpose. Folks, if you are his and you know you're his, wow, you have something to shout about this morning. I don't care what's going on in your life, what you're experiencing. Even if you were experiencing all the things Brother Kumar is experiencing, we have reason to lift up our eyes and to rejoice because of what God has done. It's interesting how he characterizes this, the foreknowledge of God, but it's through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. What is he talking about? This is how it happens. In other words, God has to go to work on the heart. What does sanctify mean? It's to set apart. Because you have a human race that is marching like lemmings toward a cliff, toward certain destruction. There is no future for this world. I don't care what you try to do, what mankind tries to do. He can go conquer the stars if he wants to, if he thinks he can. Nothing is going to alter the future of this first creation of which we were born into. Folks, we need God to rescue us completely. And it is because of the influence of His Spirit that begins to set one apart who responds to the voice. Remember how Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me." But in the same passage, he talks about those who have heard His voice. There has been an influence of God, and those who have heard and responded to that, they're the ones that have been literally set apart from the destination of everyone else in this world. Praise God. Oh, God, just continue that work. I don't even know what I need, but I serve one who knows what I need and loves me in spite of everything that is wrong with me, and that's a bunch. Praise God. That's true of you too, though. Praise God, the sanctifying work of the Spirit. God is going to continue to set people apart. And I want to challenge people. Has God ever set you apart? Has God truly become so real to you? Have you heard His voice? Has He become so real to you that seals your destiny and you have turned from a different path, the path in which the world walks, but now you're walking His path and you're looking to Him and you're trusting in Him. You see past all of this world and all that it seems to offer. I tell you, if that doesn't happen, that's beyond serious. That is beyond serious. This is real, folks. But only hearing His voice can do that. Praise God. Praise God. And, of course, the result of this is not just a mental acknowledgement of certain ideas. There is an obedience that comes with this. You remember when God spoke to Abraham, what was it that set him apart? He believed God, but he didn't sit there and say, "Yeah, I believe you." He packed up and obeyed. Folks, we need to have a heart that we allow God to mold so that we become, so our values change. Everything about us changes. That's when God sets somebody apart and they become His and not their own. You know, it seems like I come into this almost a sense of conflict in a sense. Lord, who is this focused on? Because I'm aware that there are saints who are in need of encouragement and instruction. But there are always people among us who need what we're talking about and don't know what I'm talking about. They don't have a clue. I just pray that God will speak, but I also pray that when He does, you will listen and realize who it is that's talking to you because, well, I'm jumping ahead in a sense. But one of the words that's going to come up with it in this passage is faith. And if you listen to a lot of people's ideas, particularly unbelievers who are looking on and they seeing all this, people talk about faith, to them, faith is just a blind belief in ideas that just make us feel better about life. We're trying to cope with life, and it's scary. And so we just latch on to some ideas that somebody found in a book, and we just blindly make up our ideas, "I'm going to believe that." That doesn't even come close to what real faith is. That doesn't even come close. I'll tell you, faith is a supernatural gift of God that happens in the heart of a believer who listens to the Word of God and embraces it from the heart. God literally imparts a life force into you that gives you a conviction that will hold. Folks, we need that conviction in this hour like we have never needed it before. Folks, if you don't have that, you cry out to God. Because there's a God who promised that if we would seek Him with all of our hearts, we'd find Him. He is not looking for any to perish. There's a heart that reaches out to anyone that will listen and humble themselves and reach back. God wants to impart to you a gift called faith. And it is a supernatural ability to trust God and to surrender your life into Him, His hands, and to know that there's something beyond this world. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I've had so many thoughts come and so many scriptures. Praise God. Lord, you organize this because I haven't got it organized, but that's all right. He knows what He wants to say. But always I have this sense that I'm talking to two classes of people. I'm talking to people who have not come to this yet. How many times have we seen over the decades that I've been a part of this church? We've all seen young people grow up in the church. And to all intents and purposes, they're just flowing with us and believing what we believe. And yet they grow up to a certain point and they choose to go the way of the world. Folks, we're going to have to listen. We're going to have to hear the voice of God. There are only two sources of wisdom. And we live in a world that is ruled over by the powers of darkness. There is a kingdom here whose absolute aim and purpose is to destroy, to steal, kill, and destroy everything that God has set out to do. And they use every trick in the book to make the wisdom and the appeal of this world seem to be the reality that we live in, that we need to live for. And we need a God who can break through that darkness and show us the truth. There are only two sources of wisdom. And you're either going to get it from God or you're going to get it from the world. And we live in a world, how many times have we said this, but it needs to be constantly emphasized. We live in a world where darkness and deception are flooding this world like never before. And God help you if you hold a contrary opinion. I'll throw this in. I'm not going to speak politically or sociologically or all that kind of stuff. But it's interesting. There's a whole lot of debate going on in what's going on in educational circles. That it's no longer education, it's indoctrination. With a worldview, with a whole philosophy of everything. And one of the interesting news tidbits that came out in the last few days was a woman who was born in China. She was born under the communist regime there. And, of course, those of you who know your history at all, Mao Zedong was the leader of the communist revolution in China. And as he was consolidating his power, he instituted what he called the Cultural Revolution. Means we are going to transform everybody's thinking. They're all going to conform to our ideas. Everything of the past needs to be done away with, thrown out. And anybody who clings to that, it's not going to be good. And, of course, people were killed by the millions. It was not a pretty thing. Well, she lived through that. And so she stood before a school board the other day and said, the things that I grew up with and I fled to come here for freedom, they're happening here right now. And you're not aware of it. Folks, we need to be so grounded in what God says that we are able to recognize what's going on and where the wisdom is coming from. You can't just listen to your worldly friends. You'll have worldly friends that say, I'm a Christian. And they'll give you wisdom that's right straight out of the mouth of Lucifer sometimes. Folks, we need to be grounded. And as we're going forward, we're going to need something that's real. Because we are on a trial here. I guess that's what's going on. The Lord is going to make manifest those that are His and those that aren't. And I'll tell you, you don't have to be strong or smart or a whole lot of things to stand in this. We just need God. Amen. It's all based upon Him. But I'll tell you, if we are going to be self-willed, if we're going to just listen to this and listen to that and not really focus on Him, we're going to be in a world of hurt. It's interesting. I'll just refer to some of these scriptures that we read about in the words of Jesus. He warned at one point about those who would seek earthly wealth. And He says, you know, it's all going to burn up. You need to seek for heavenly wealth. You need to seek for that which will not pass away. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But it's interesting what he goes right on to say about the singleness of your eyes or the health of your eyes, depending on the translation. Folks, what we are looking at, what we are considering to be the source of our truth, quote unquote, everybody has their own today, but there is only one source of genuine truth, and his name is Jesus. And he was sent to give us the knowledge of God's will, God's purpose, and to open up a way where we can participate in that. But oh, I'll tell you, you can't come here and listen and say, yeah, yeah, and then go out and listen and follow your own heart and follow your own ideas and the wisdom that's coming in from the news media and the education. In today's education, so much of it is corrupted. You go to most colleges today, you're going to be brainwashed with a philosophy that hates God. You're going to have to, if you go, you're going to have something on the inside that will hold you. You're going to have an anchor for your soul. And you're going to have some battles if you try to go into some of those places. They don't want you there. Some of them. I know it's not 100% bad everywhere, but I'll tell you what. The world is being overrun with doctrines and ideas and things to live for that have entirely to do with this world. And everything that they talk about will pass away. Or else Jesus is a liar. He didn't mess around when he talked about it. But oh, how he talked about the need for our eye to be single. Is your eye single? Not just when you come in here, but when you deal with the day-by-day issues of your life, is your eye single? That is, I know who I need to be listening to. I know where my wisdom, my true wisdom comes from. I know where truth comes from. And whether I feel it or whatever is going on in my heart and my life, I am committed to Him. You know, we used the scripture recently about seeking wisdom, but not having a divided heart, not having a heart that's uncertain which way it wants to go, like we want God to lay His cards on the table and then we'll decide. This is an absolute commitment. God, I know enough about You to know that I can trust You absolutely. Nothing short of that is faith. Nothing short of that will get you through this world. That's the world, that's the situation we find ourselves in. And God has arranged it because you see that what we read about, the incredible picture of what God has done and where we're going with that. It's just amazing. It's beyond belief that He could take people like me and you and give us anything to hope for. Thank God. Thank God. Thank You for the sprinkling of the blood. That means that the sins that I committed that separated me from a holy God, He took care of it. I could do nothing about it, but He did. Oh, what a heart. I can trust somebody like that. You know, I remember my dad witnessing to somebody way, way back. I guess this was before he even met my mother. And his comment to somebody who was kind of an unbeliever said, you know, I can trust somebody who died for me. Simple statement. But it's exactly the truth. Somebody who's willing to do what he did for me. How can I not trust him completely? How can I not put my faith in him? And I'll come back to this. I want to drop this in again because just hearing about this and saying, oh yeah, they believe it, it must be so. I don't want anybody here to ever have secondhand faith. God doesn't want you to have secondhand faith. Doesn't want you to do anything on the strength of what I say or what anybody else says. God wants to be real to you personally, and He will if your heart is open to Him and you're reaching out to Him. You will have a source of knowledge that the world cannot give you. No university can give it to you. There is a wisdom that God can impart to the human heart that is stronger and more lasting than everything this world can offer you. And even though many times it leads to difficult circumstances like we saw Brother Kumar is experiencing right now, even though it leads to death itself in this world, it's worth everything to know Him. Because this is not the end. This is going to have an end, but this is not the end for those who put their trust in Christ. This is only the means to an end. Thank God. Praise be to the God and Father, in verse 3, of our Lord Jesus Christ, in His great mercy. That's the only ground I can stand upon today. I cannot begin to come and say, God, I'm a good guy. You ought to receive me. Are you willing to come on the ground of mercy? Or do you have so much pride that you're just not willing to come down and realize you need Him as much as the worst murderer, sinner, dictator? You need Him as much as Hitler did. So do I. There's nothing that we can offer to Him. It is on the ground of mercy. Are you willing to come that way? Because that's the only ground we can come on. God, I couldn't possibly deserve it, but You have offered me mercy, and I am willing to come on that ground. I renounce any claim to goodness. I just come because You have offered me mercy. To Your name be glory and praise. But He's given us a new birth. Folks, how many times have we said, you can't fix this? You can't fix Adam. You and I were born with Adam's life, and you can't fix it. It's so corrupted. There's only one thing you can do is kill it. But what He offers us is another life. Have you ever experienced that? That needs to be the cry of your heart, that you come to a place where you know you have been born again of His Spirit. He has imparted the very life of God to you, shared it with you. You don't deserve it. I don't either. But He's given me a brand new life. Praise God! Every life that's part of this world will perish, but this is a life you cannot kill. You go on, and later on this chapter, the end of the chapter, the beginning of the next one, talks about how it's immortal. It's God's own immortal life. What an amazing thing to possess. What is there in this world you could possess that's greater? Nothing. Nothing. And that gives us what He's talking about. He looks back to see what He's done for us. He's given us this new birth, but to what purpose? A living hope. That means I can come here this morning. It doesn't matter what's going on right now in the middle of my life and what it looks like, what it feels like. I have a hope that goes beyond that. It isn't dependent upon my perfect performance. It's dependent upon a God who cannot lie. You read Hebrews 6 again, and you'll read about a God who speaks, a God who cannot lie, who can look us in the eye and say, I have planted in your heart a hope. And it's not a just wish. We think of hope as a wish. This is an expectation of something that is as solid, that's more solid than anything you see. It's more real. I'll tell you, we got to have something supernatural in here to have that kind of conviction. You can't just psych people into this. I don't want to psych anybody into anything. I want you to have an encounter with the living God where He will impart to you His own conviction, His own life on the inside, where you know that you know that you know that He's real. And He will do it. I know many of you know what I'm talking about. But if you don't, oh my God, cry out. And it's a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What a glorious song we sang this morning about the power of what God did at the resurrection. How many times have we talked about how all hell would have kept Him in there. And even His followers were completely disheartened. It's all over. I don't understand what's going on. And a Roman guard standing there on a sealed tomb, and all hell, the unseen world, ganged up on Him, having a party, saying, we have won. And in the face of that, God said, uh-uh. It's time to come out. And death itself could not hold Him. In the natural course of events, every one of us is going to wind up in a tomb. But this is a life that we saw come forth in Jesus Christ that you cannot kill. It's real. Praise God. That's the I mean, you can go back on, in history and look at that from a, even from an intellectual standpoint, and people have tried to do that, trying to disprove the Christian faith and wind up coming to faith because they couldn't. God just has given us so many witnesses. If there's any honesty in a human heart, you're going to wind up with the conviction that Jesus Christ is real, that God's Word is real, that truth is real, that this world is going to pass away and we need to be connected to Him. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That authenticated everything that He had said, everything that God had promised. And the result of that is an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Remember how Jesus, again, talked about the treasures of this world and how they'll pass away? But here's a treasure that you cannot pass away. Let me ask you this. Does Jesus deserve an inheritance in that kingdom? You think? Yeah. But we're fellow heirs. See, that's God's purpose. It's not just for Him as an individual. He shares that with everyone who puts their trust in Him. He has the power to make us fully fit for that. That's what life becomes all about, is getting us, taking us from what we were, transforming us on the inside, making us ready to inherit that for all eternity. If you're His, you have an inheritance that no demon in hell can possibly do anything about. Praise God. It can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. You think the devil can go up there and do anything about that? He can try to talk you out of it, discourage you, but that doesn't change what's true up there. God has done something no devil can stop. Praise God. All right? Now, who's he talking about? For you, who through faith are shielded by God's power. Again, faith is not just some vague thing that I work up or come up with somehow. This is a supernatural thing that God produces in the heart. But it also releases God's power into my life. And there is a protection, there is a shield. In fact, doesn't Paul talk about the shield of faith? Yeah, there's something that stands between me and the efforts of the devil to take me down. And it's not because I have anything, it's because of God's power. I don't have any power, do you? I can't stand up to any of this. But my hope and my confidence is not in anything that I am or that I'm capable of doing. It's in Him. And He is faithful. That's what Peter is conveying here. What an amazing picture. Praise God. We're shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So you see Peter on the one hand talking about where we've come from and how we got here. God reached out in mercy to awaken us to our need, to bring us to a place where He could beget in us His life. And he points to the future and says, look what I've got for you. There's nothing that can ever touch that. All right, now you come back to the middle. That's what this is about. Because we need to understand both ends. Folks, if you're trying to be a Christian in your own strength, you need to go back to the starting line. You need God to do something supernatural in your life. And I'm not talking about some spooky experience. I'm talking about a reality. You'll know. You'll know when God's done something down in here. There'll be a witness of His Spirit and yours. But praise God, in all this, you greatly rejoice. And there's a word, though. It follows that, though. In other words, this is awesome, but there's something that you have to deal with that kind of gets in the way here that's coming against that. Though. All right. There we go. Though now for a little while, thank God it's only a little while, like Paul said, you know, I'm all this that I'm going through is just for a little short time, but what's coming is forever. Nothing, you can't compare the two. How do you compare eternity with a little bit that we go through? Of course, it doesn't feel like that sometimes, does it? In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. So obviously, with a God that has prepared all of this, has planned all of this, this has got to be part of his plan, right? You think this is just sort of happening? Is this happenstance? Is the devil kind of coming in here and saying, I get to mess up God's plan, I get to fight against it? God has absolutely placed us in an arena for a purpose. And everything he is doing in us is absolutely central to where we're headed. But it's not only that, it's central to us living here and being effective as Christians. I sense the Lord's burden to get us ready. I mean, the kind of stuff that we heard about with Brother Kumar is not just for folks someplace off in another part of the world. We don't know what God may call upon us to face here with the spirit that is overrunning our society and transforming our culture into an antichrist culture. Don't you sit here and think that the American way of life is just going to go on and on and on and on and on. We're going to need something that's real down here. And folks, if you're trusting in him and you've given your life and your heart to him and your eyes single to his him as the source of truth, you got what you need. And regardless of what we may experience in the flesh, what he's given us is real and it will hold. Okay? But then he goes into something that's interesting. This is kind of what drew me to this passage in the first place. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. God is going to do something here to demonstrate how real he is and how great his power is, that there's nothing here that can separate us from the love of God. Read Romans 8 again. Nothing can separate us. All the things that the devil can throw at us, nothing is stronger than this. Interesting that he compares our faith with gold. Now you think of earthly substances. And gold would have to be near the top of the list of those that are pretty indestructible. I don't care how hot the fire is, gold ain't going to suffer. Gold is going to stay in there. In fact, gold is going to get purer. The hotter it gets, it's going to get purer, isn't it? You kind of see a little bit of an analogy going on here. And yet, there is a fire coming. Peter talks about it particularly in the second letter. There is a fire coming that is so hot, gold itself will not stand up to it. Folks, you want to live for something in this world? Seriously? If even gold won't stand up to it, what else will? That's God's word, isn't it? That's sober. But yet there's enough of an analogy that we can understand something of what God is seeking to do in our daily lives. There are imperfections, there are areas of need. You know, we've talked about it in so many different ways, how God needs to transform our mind and all of that. But folks, there are so many things that we have that have become part of our life, part of our thinking, part of how we live and react, that just doesn't come from God. And just like the impurities that you put gold in the fire in order to burn them out, we need things that will burn them out. We don't just sit in a seminar and God says, here's what you need to do, here's how you do it. Good, I got that. It doesn't work that way any more than if you bring gold in there and say, look, gold, get rid of that junk that's in there so you can be pure. There's a process that makes it pure. And this is one we would prefer not to have. But the reality is, if God is going to purify that amazing faith that he has put in here, it's going to have to go through stuff. And it's going to have to stand up to something that's very, very real. And that something is going to have the power to burn up the stuff that God wants to get rid of in you and me. Anybody here got any of that? Yeah. I mean, you think about how we sing on Sunday about all the wonderful things that we have in the Lord, and then we go out, and the simple circumstances of life produce all kinds of reactions that don't come from faith. We get angry. We get discouraged. We get, you go on, you name all the things that we're prone to. We react to so many things in life. Discouraged, weary, hopeless. I'll tell you, we're going to go through life. God is going to deliberately bring us to places where we're going to need to stand in faith. The Word of God is full of those examples. Abraham didn't become the father of faith by simply going to a seminar and learning about it. He had to stand up under real world issues. And I'll tell you, there are places we get in this world where God will be silent, seemingly, and 1,000 voices will be screaming in our heads saying, it isn't so, you've done something, you're bad, God doesn't, maybe God doesn't even exist, this is all a fantasy. You're going to hear those voices. Everyone here has heard those voices. And I'll tell you, at that time, that's when we need to ask God to keep our eyes single and say, God, I need your help. God, give me the strength to stand and simply believe you, even when it doesn't seem like it. I don't feel it. Nothing. I have nothing to go on that's natural. But I know what you put in my heart. I know who you are. See, Abraham just didn't believe. We've said this many times. He just didn't believe what God said. He believed God. It was a character issue. I know the character of the one who has talked to me, and whatever he tells me is right. And then what an amazing demonstration of that faith came when God told him to sacrifice his own son, and he got to the point where the knife was raised, and he would have done it. Whew. And he didn't have the Bible. We've got a God who will lead us in so many ways. You know, Brother Steve was telling me last night about going through some stuff and how the Lord brought him. God leads us along. You know, there are times when God leads us beside the still waters and in wonderful meadows. And there's other times he leads us in dark valleys, the valley of the shadow of death. But what does David say based on his heart experience? He said, no matter where I've been, you've been with me. You're walking right beside me. I didn't even feel that you were there. There were times in his Psalms he said, oh God, where are you? I reach out, I can't find you. Where is it? What's going on here? I don't understand. But somehow there was something God had placed in the heart. Is that in your heart? It needs to be. God wants to give it to you. He wants to give you that anchor in your soul. Think of Jesus at his weakest point, and the devil comes and says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. What did he say? Man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, he didn't say that when he just finished a nice meal and was feeling good. He just finished fasting for 40 days. And he was hungry, and he was needy, and he was at his weakest point. But somehow his eye was so single, that conviction of his heart was so real that he was able to say, these natural things are not what I live for. This isn't what I go by. You know, God can take care of those needs while we're here. But there is something that's more important. I need to live by what comes out of his mouth. And I've got to say this again. This has to get beyond words on a page. I thank God for every word that's on these pages. And we can search them and we can read them. But it's got to get beyond my intellectually taking hold of what it says here and trying to cobble myself a religion. I need a living relationship with a very real God who talks to me. And so do you. Because I don't live by just the natural resources. I live by what he says. And I'm not talking about some spooky experience. I'm talking about the fact that many of you could testify to, you were in a dark place and suddenly, finally, God spoke. It wasn't a long speech, but just a quick word. It could be 3 or 4 or 5 words. But suddenly peace took hold. And you knew that God was real and that His word was more powerful than anything you were experiencing at the time. Folks, that's the kind of a God that we need. That's the kind of a relationship we need. God wants a people that will walk with Him because we're headed into difficult territory. Just living in this world is difficult enough, but we need a God with whom we walk. We need the same thing Noah needed when he walked with God and God showed him what to do and protected him and brought him through in spite of the condition of a world that was headed for judgment. We're in that same situation today. And the God who was with Noah, the God who was with Abraham, is with us. We need to be with Him. We need to be saying every day, when those voices scream in your head and your and wanting you to give up, wanting you to go this way and believe this and believe that, we just need to cry out and say, oh God, I believe You. Help my unbelief. And sometimes it's going to take standing. Sometimes it's going to take just standing in faith because you know what He has said to you in the past. But I'll tell you, we have a God who knows how to speak in the present when there is a need. I know I've used this example before, and this had to do with somebody coming to Christ. It was John Bunyan, who many of you know wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Spent many a year in prison, and as a result of that, did a lot of writing that has blessed people from down through the centuries. But his testimony, if you ever read that, I haven't read it in a long time, probably need to again, but Grace Abounding to the Chiefest of Sinners. And he talks about the process by which he came to faith. And man, it wasn't easy. He didn't come into a gospel meeting and believe in Jesus and that was it and everything was great and grand. He went through hell over months and months and months because God was shaping and preparing him. God was doing something that apparently could be done no other way. And there would be some part of him that God enabled to reach out. We know that he couldn't have done it if God hadn't been at work. But there was some part of him that was reaching out to God and seeking to lay hold of something. And while he was doing that, demons were screaming in his head, sometimes for a week or two at a time. You've gone too far. God doesn't care about you. This isn't real. 1,001 objections to whatever he was seeking to do. And he would stand there and say, no, 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 and just hang on. And then finally, maybe 3 little words. After all the millions of words of screaming, 3 little words would come from God, sink into his heart and give him peace. And suddenly all of those voices went silent. Then he'd go through another battle and another battle, and God was bringing him to faith to realize that this is a war we're in. You and I need him. In whatever situation you find yourself in that would cause you to do something other than rest and trust and believe in this God who has called you out of darkness into light and has set before you a hope that cannot be countermanded, we're going to need to have a heart that looks to God consistently. We stand by faith. We look to Him. We know where our help comes from. And whether it comes on our timetable or in the way we think, we're going to say, God, I know who You are. I need Your strength. I can't do this on my own, but Lord, I receive this. Do you know the effect of that is the same as putting gold in fire? Do you know there are things in our lives that lose their power over us when we stand in faith when the fire is burning? God is literally setting us free. That's what He's talking about. We read the end of this passage. Even though you do not see Him, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You see the process there. See, Peter's talked about the beginning. He's talked about where we're going, but now we're in the middle. We are receiving something. God wants to impart something to me that I don't have. There is no other way but for me to have to stand in times of difficulty and praise Him anyway and just look to Him. But I'll tell you what's going to get me through is the same thing that got Jesus through. I don't live by earthly provision, whatever it is. I need to hear from heaven. You can tell me all this stuff, but I have one source of truth, and it comes ultimately from God. And I'm going to listen, and I'm going to trust Him to speak to me exactly what I need when I need it, and that is going to be the anchor for my soul. I'm convinced of who He is and that He is truthful and faithful, and no matter what you say, devil, I'm going to stand, and I'm going to put my trust in Him, and He's going to bring me through. You see the picture that's being painted here? I thought about a couple of scriptures from Revelation. I think this will be enough. But in letters to the churches. See if I can find it here. Okay. The last two are the Church of Philadelphia. And the Philadelphia church is one that seems to be in the best shape of any of them. God has set before an open door and all of that, and He goes on how they have a little strength. They've been faithful. They've stood under all kinds of circumstances. But listen to what He says down in verse 10. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole earth to test the inhabitants of the earth. Folks, is what we are experiencing on a day-to-day basis relevant to where we're at in our lives and in earth, in world's history? Yeah. God is putting His people to a test. But it is a test that's going to prove and demonstrate that what He has given us is real. Folks, that's what I want to hang on to with all my heart. I can't do it except by His strength. But as we exercise this, God is changing us. He's doing something in us. He's preparing us. There is something we're going to have that the world won't have when it needs it. But it's kind of interesting when you get to the church of Laodicea. Now you've got a comfortable, sleeping church that thinks they've got it all right. Everything is great and grand. Jesus says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. God, I don't want to ever get in that place of complacency. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. See, we can get in a place, if we're not careful, where we think everything's great and grand and God sees needs that He wants to deal with. And He is faithful to do it if we're faithful to keep our eyes, keep our spiritual awareness and be looking to Him and saying, God, I need your truth. I don't just need tradition. I don't need just the book. I need you. And I need to be walking with you. And I need your wisdom in this situation and that one. I just need to be walking with you every single day. Lord, help me. You do not realize you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. So what's His prescription for this? I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. But what's the gold? Gold is faith. Gold is that quality that God gives to us, that ability that God gives us supernaturally to place our whole confidence in Him. Folks, I need that. I need to say, oh God, strengthen my faith. God, impart more of yourself to me so that I have what I need. God, don't let me go to sleep. Don't let me get lost in this world and its values and what it thinks is important. God, help us to stand fast. Help us to walk together like the Philadelphia church did, to love one another. God is going to take His people through. But He wants us to understand what's going on right now. So that every single day, instead of, we're allowing God to deal with us. We're allowing God to bring circumstances to allow us to go through valleys and difficult places. And they will bring up the conflict between ideas that come from the other source and His truth. And all and what we need to do is to cry out to Him and say, God, I believe You, and I'm going to stand fast, and I am looking to You for Your strength. Give me the wisdom I need. Speak, if it's just a word or two, whatever I need, to give me the confidence to stand in this time. And I'll tell you, God's going to burn that stuff up that's held you captive in me. God's got a plan for that. It's not going to be here. You know, there's going to come a day when nothing that afflicts you right now that's ungodly, it won't be here. But God wants to do something about a lot of it right now. And He knows how to do it, and He's faithful to do it. Praise God. So I want to have my eyes single. I want to have a heart that says, Lord, I know that I'm in need. I know how I got here. I know You called me, even though I don't deserve it. I know what You set before me, but I also know that You're with me right now. And I need to hear Your voice. I just want to hear from You, Lord, because You are the only source of truth that I trust. Whatever this world tells me is going to lead me to destruction. But I need You. And I'll tell you, there is a God who is faithful to His promises. He is faithful to you. It doesn't depend upon your strength or wisdom or any natural quality that you have. You can be the smallest child who puts their trust in Him, and you are stronger than the greatest giant in the kingdom of darkness, because it's not you, it's Him in you. Praise God. Do we have something to rejoice in this morning? But we also have things to be sober about, and to realize where we're at and what God has laid before us and how we get from point A to point B. But I'm so thankful He's going with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And He is faithful. To Him be the glory. Praise God.